All right, I'm going to talk a little bit about living on Earth and why you're depressed and why you're so stressed out. And it's because you don't live on the Earth and you were not meant to live how you're living. We're not set up for this post-industrialized world, this technological world in which we find ourselves in. There's a lot of data that shows what I figured out when I was about 8 years old to be the case. Now, a lot of people will try to shut you down on a lot of this stuff, but they're not real arguments, and people haven't really thought about this. So in Western civilization, about 25% of the population is on some sort of psychological medicine to make them happy, right? 25%. Probably another 25% need to be, right? And how did this happen? How are we really meant to be? What is natural and what is really healthy? And the 9-to-5 job, the social media world, all of this technological advances, we are not adapted to because evolution goes slow. We are hunter and gatherers. That is what we are biologically, genetically. And technology and industrialization have outpaced evolution. And so now we find ourselves extreme. I call it institutionalized urbanization when a lot of these people with their generators, they come off grid and they run these generators and they can't understand how it could be that they're bothering you. like you have something wrong with you because you would rather listen to the birds than listen to their generators echoing through the canyons. And like I said, if that sound of that generator isn't bothering you running right outside your door, then you are suffering from institutionalized urbanization. And once that generator starts bothering you, you are moving towards greater health. Now, I kind of figured this out when I was a kid. My dad was grooming me for a life of success in the modern world. And I'll never forget, I had to be 7 or 8 years old, just being absolutely horrified at the idea of shaving in the morning. I used to watch my dad shave and then put on this tie and choke himself with the tie and go off to work and never have time for anything, right? His garden, his kids, anything. And it was all about the job. It was also, how do we look in the eyes of others? This is probably the biggest moral virtue that I was shown when I was a child, is how do we look in the eyes of others, right? Always more. My mother was probably one of the greatest consumers that's ever touched this earth. And there's a lot of people like this. I didn't grow up in a strange home. Probably most homes today, that's what's important, how we look to other people, keeping up with the Joneses. More shopping malls. Now it's Amazon. I talk about Shadow, right? A guy I used to hang around with. And it's interesting to see his neurosis, his hunter-gatherer self being played out through buying things through Amazon, the tracking number, the whole deal. An absolute consumer, and a waster of money and time and resources and air and all kinds of things. And he's not alone. And he's never happy. He's never content. It's always more, 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 more. And that's where we're at. So if you're young and you want off the wheel, there's other ways to live. And I want to talk about a book. It's by Alyssa Bay Burrell. I think it was originally published in 1971 or 1972, and this book had fallen into my hands when I was about 10 or 11 years old, and it absolutely revolutionized my life and pretty much put me at odds with my parents and with most of my society around me at the same time. But in this book, it talked about other ways to live. ways that are more close to the earth. I just did a podcast on a wood stove and the mental health that comes with the wood stove. I made the podcast because of the season that we're coming into. See, my life doesn't revolve really around a clock, or a lot of times I don't know what day it is. Those things elude me quite often, because I'm actually healthier and more in tune with how we're supposed to live, in that I go by the seasons. And it's been getting cool in the morning, and the sun is starting to move over backward towards the horizon. And I remember one time when I was living in Southern Illinois, it was probably October, and I think the fall is probably my favorite season. And I remember I was chopping firewood, and I was probably 22, 23 years old at the time. And it just felt so right. It just felt so right. And the squirrels were gathering their shit, and man, I was in tune, right? And I was in tune. So I looked at my father go to church and realize, man, not a single one of these motherfuckers represent Jesus, resemble this guy they're talking about. And it's just, everybody always seemed worn out and drunk, right? I got a lot of alcoholism in my family, and just always stressed out about how we looked in the eyes of others. And I remember my dad went down, this is after I was out of the house, and he did some missionary work through his church down in South America. And I just remember how profoundly blown away he was at how happy these dirt poor people were. It really made him take a step back. it made him take pause and think, something I've been thinking about since I was a kid, right? I was always in the forest and building forts, and you know, I'm building little cabins right now. It's like I've been Bob the Builder since I was a little child, building shelters and hunting and fishing and trapping and having a small clan of people. Contentment. I did a podcast about how capitalism's greatest enemy is contentment. It's always got to grow. It's ever-expanding markets. It's always more, 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 more. And contentment is the enemy of capitalism. And our neurosis as a people, you wonder why people shoot each other in the schools and blowing people away all over the place, and why nobody gets along. And it's because we're not living on Earth anymore. We're not mindful. We waste all the water. We waste all the resources. We don't live as part of the earth. We extract the resources from it, and we view ourselves as somehow separate from the animal kingdom and from the kingdom of earth. And my lifestyle is in opposition to all of that stuff. And that's not even in opposition. It's just I choose and have chosen. The older I get, the more I sink into this without wavering. I went back and forth when I was younger, because there's a lot of pressures put on you, right? You're always there's something innate in us that wants to be part of a community and a group, and the community and the group is going to tell you you're all wrong on this stuff, right? That you got to pay the bills, and look at the people over there, they got it worse, and all of these things that are thrown up to you to shut down the conversation while they're slamming vodka and taking psycho drugs, right? No time for nothing. So this book fell into my hand, Living on Earth. And it's about making your own clothes, and about living in cabins, and making wood stoves out of 55-gallon drums, and just all kinds of things that I've always been involved with. Like I said, I've had a couple of periods of time where I've tried to get on board with humanity, but I can't do it. It's just not in me to do so. And so if you are a young person out there and you're looking at this world and you're realizing, man, something's not right, you are absolutely correct. We were not made to live like this. This is not how we were for millions of years, literally. This is not how we're supposed to live. That's why we're so neurotic. That's why we're killing one another. Why do you think bushcraft channels and all of these things are so popular and people live vicariously through a lot of these different things? Because, you know, you got to get back to the garden. What does that mean, though? I mean, there's sacrifices for this. You're gonna cut yourself off of most of Western civilization because they're not on the same page. They don't agree with none of this. They think it's left-wing communism or whatever they may think. But if you are a young person, I'm here to tell you that there are other ways to live. Can you totally separate yourself from it? Of course not. It is what it is. You have to have some money. It's just how it is. Do you have to be ruled by money? No, you don't. You know, one of the things you're going to have to do is really get good at separating your wants from your needs. And this is a want, I want, right? I told a little story about a guy with a $4,000 compound bow. That's too complicated. He's always in the shop with it, and he's looking at my bow. But he said, I want it. You know, 50-year-old. This is what I want. Look at the scope. This is a $1,200 scope. Look at that. My God. Boy, have we gotten... He can't kill nothing with it. You wouldn't want to have that if the grid goes down. Because it's so complex and complicated, it's broken all the time. And it's not the best for hunting. Right? But that's the whole thing. And it was funny because he thought I was going to be impressed that he had a $4,000 bow. I don't have a bow that's over $200, so you're not impressing me. And I actually put meat on the table with mine. So if you are a young person, there are other ways to live, and you're not going to be totally self-sufficient. That's a myth. You need earth, water, wood. You need food. You need shelter, food, water, shelter, communication, transportation, and a friend. These are the essential things that we need in life. We need shelter, food and water, transportation, communication, and a friend. You need to break that down further. You need some earth, you need some water, and you need some wood. And if you have those things, you can construct your own life in your own way. And there still are places where you can go and get some land where you won't be so regulated. There are those places. You're not going to escape regulation. And there's no such thing as total freedom. And get those things out of your mind. The only thing you could do is work towards a greater level of freedom, of living how we're supposed to live, living within the cycles of the seasons and of the day, rather than the watch. You know, Daniel Bernstein, he wrote a trilogy of books back in the 1970s, The Creators, The Discoverers, and the Explorers. Great, great books if you ever get a chance to read them. They're kind of long, but they're great books. And I remember the chapter, I can't remember which one it was, maybe The Inventors, where he was talking about the amount of stress that was put on people with the invention of the clock. That now you had, before it was, I'll see you in the spring. Right now it was, I'll see you at 2 o'clock on the 12th, right? Things got very, very, very specific. Of course, we increased our wealth. We increased material goods through these innovations and through these inventions and these discoveries. But at some point we really went over the line. And now you got AI centers. I mean, but before it's all over, you're going to have flying drones watching everybody. It's funny as a kid watching the Terminator movies. And then as an old man with gray hair watching that shit come to pass, you know. So there are other ways to live, and you're going to get a lot of pressure. I mean, I'm 60 years old. My wife is 50 something. We just got it from our father-in-law, right? How you live without air conditioning and you know, giving the riot act to this day, you know, because it's so incomprehensible to him how you or why you would even want to do that. And of course they sit up in the fucking house all day. They don't go outside, you know, and you don't have to have air conditioning. You just, you know, I think air conditioning, you know, prior to that in a city like Chicago, everybody had block parties. Everybody was outside, right? There was a sense of community. And then central air came around through the 70s and definitely by the 1980s, everybody had central air. Everybody's locked up into their house, right? One of the things that is natural to man is to have a small clan or a tribe where there's a lot of social trust, right? This is part of mental well-being and spiritual well-being, is having some people around you where there's social trust. So this ever-increasing isolation, what goes along with that is ever-increasing lack of social trust. And we don't have social trust today is almost non-existent here in the United States of America. So we weren't meant to live like this. And you might love the conveniences and all of those things, but we weren't meant to live like this. And the reason you're depressed and the reason that you're stressed out is because you're living like that. And you're biologically and genetically set up to not live like that. We can't, I think it was Brett Weinstein was doing a podcast not too long ago talking about some of the data on this, and things change so fast, we can't genetically and biologically and mentally keep up with it because evolution moves slow. Man can handle one revolution in their lifetime, not five, right? Some revolutionary change or advancement. We have them all the time now. So we're plagued with consumerism. We've polluted this earth. I rode my motorcycle 90,000 miles all across this country. And like I wrote in a poem, there's beer cans on top of the Rocky Mountains and tampons floating through the streams below. We have consumed and tossed our waste wrappers into the trees and into the air. And it's haze gray and on their way, balls out. And it really shows. And now we're in a collapsing society. A lot of it. There's a wealth inequality is just absolutely exponentially grown. I mean, we went from my grandfather without a high school diploma, able to raise six kids. And then we went to, well, now we got to have two people working to make the bills. Now you got two people fucking working. You still can't make the bills and living off credit cards, right? And it keeps on going and going and going and faster and faster and faster. And my life of off-grid minimalism is putting the brakes on all that shit. Let that world do what it's going to do. You know, we have, some people might say, oh, you live in a shack. Man, we love our home. This motherfucker is paid for. I built this with my own two hands, and it's all we need. And you can say I live in a shack. I ain't worried about keeping up with the Joneses. I watched my parents do that. My parents, after everybody left the house and their house was paid for in Tinley Park, they went and bought a mansion, a McMansion in Homer Glen. And I remember when they bought it, my sister told me, oh, they don't want you to come up for Christmas because they're worried about what you're going to say about the house. Oh, yeah, well, no shit. I'm going to say something about the house because you're in church on Sunday talking about being barefoot Jesus, and you're absolutely horrific frauds of people that just waste. You didn't. That was a want. There was no need for any of that. That huge, huge, now it's a tomb for my father. My mom's dead, and you know, got the huge mansion. Insanity, man. It's just insanity. That new housing style, what they have, I remember that when they came up with this elaborate truss system in the roof, to where you couldn't eat the huge attic space that you can't even put a room addition in. And I was like, what is this trend? This was a trend back in the like 90s, I think, these big homes that they built with these huge attics and huge roofs. And the truss system is so elaborate, if they're not made to where, like, you could finish off the attic into a room. It's just for looking at, man. It's just for looking at. See how big my stuff is? So if you're a young person, man, you don't have to live like that, man. And if you don't live like that, don't let them tell you that you're the one that's morally wrong. Because they got that reversed. They'll pull that reversal on you. You're the one that's living wrong, is what they'll tell you. Well, there's a whole shitload of data that we have today that confirms everything that I knew when I was 8 years old. I don't want to shave every fucking day and drag some noose up to my neck and go crawl off to some fucking office every day. It's not healthy. It's not how we're supposed to live. So check out that book. It's still around. I think it's you could probably get it on Amazon. Alyssa Bay Barrel, Living on Earth. It's just kind of rudimentary thing. But like I said, if you're a young person, you don't have to join all that stuff, man. There are other more wholesome ways to live, more peaceful, more in tune with the natural cycles, with your natural genetics, with your natural biology. It's hard. There's no doubt about it. There's not a whole lot of places to go. But you can do it. You know, get a job working with your hands, whether it's ditch digging or landscaper or a carpenter or a road crew or a bricklayer, some sort of career, some sort of job that has to do with working with your hands. One of the things when I was in the Navy, I was horrified at the idea of being below decks and requested the flight deck on the aircraft carrier because I do not want to be trapped in a cubicle or separated from the sun and the moon. And if you're like that, I know there's a lot of people telling you, you're the one that's all fucked up. No, dude, you're not fucked up. You're not fucked up at all. You know what FDW is? It's fuck the world, man. And that means doing what's morally right. Worry about all the rules and regulations later. I did a video on that one time. And I live a lifestyle of fuck the world. I don't even get involved in politics. They're peripheral to me because it was funny this morning. I watched one news thing and then YouTube is like doom scrolling me all of these, you know, trying to bait me into the end of the world and this. I don't give a shit about that stuff. I don't care if it's the end of the world or not the end of the world. All I care about is me and my wife. Had a beautiful morning this morning and laughed and hugged each other. And I got to walk my dogs. And now I'm making this podcast. And now I'm going to tend to my homestead. That's what I care about. I ain't keeping up with the Joneses. Ain't out to impress people. Ain't looking for a million subscribers. Don't care if I'm an influencer. Give a shit about that stuff, man. It's about reaching the few people out there, and I've done that. I've got emails from you guys. So if you're a young person out there, man, you don't have to live like that. You just do not have to live like that. Go out and get you a regular job. Learn how to do things. Get you an affordable piece of land. Practice. I mean, this is living within your means. Separating your wants from your needs is essential. And to me, that's the real religion. That's the real spiritual practice right there. Living within your means, separating your wants from your needs. This is about behavior, not about belief. That's why people like Christianity. See, they can just believe and then act like a bunch of fucking yahoos. And they think they got eternal security and they're in, right? Well, I don't know about none of that, but I'm living on earth. As for me and my house, we will live on earth. And I invite you to do the same. If you find value in this content, share it on your bushcraft groups, your homesteading groups, your alternative living groups, social media accounts. It helps this website without any cost to you because I ain't pimping anything anyway. I ain't got no knives to sell you. Ain't got no tents to sell you. Ain't got no cook gear to sell you. I'm just sharing what I know and what I've learned in 60 years of living on this earth here. Also, there's an email subscription. If you want to be informed when I post new stuff, make sure you sign up for that. And if you agree, disagree, whatever the case may be, leave a comment. Once one of your comments are approved, you don't have to get them approved anymore. The section is right down below. All right, I'm going to get back to living on Earth.